Hi, this is Zoe Rath, and this is episode 16, Common and Little Known Mistakes in Strategic Planning and Their Quick Fixes.
Welcome to the Zoe Rath Leadership Podcast, your source of strategies and insights to make you a better leader. Influence, improve, inspire.
So I'm back in Australia after 6 weeks overseas in North America and Japan, and it's taken a few days to adjust to the heat. I guess one of the things I love about traveling is you get a hugely expanded sense of that we're all connected. So on Australia Day, on January 26th, I was in Japan, and I thought about it. You know, here I was, a British-born, Canadian-raised, Australian-adopted person celebrating Australia Day. Where else but in Japan? It made me think, you know what, we really are just one people. So that's your happy thought for the day. Some of the things that I want to share with you right away are some amazing books that I'm reading. One of them is called Persuasion. It's Cialdini's latest book, and you might know him from the classic of Influence. And it's amazing. So he describes in the book what you can do before you say anything that sets up your conversation for success. And the second book I'm reading, which is fantastic, it's by Sally Hogshead, and it's called Fascinate. And if you're in marketing or you're in business and you need to hone your marketing brand, then this is the book for you. It was super easy to read, made sense about so many questions I had about marketing and branding. It just seemed like this ephemeral thing. And she's got a whole system worked out, easy to read, fabulous. So those are my two recommended books. A resource I think that you must take a look at is Blink. So this was recommended to me by my mentor at Thought Leaders, Matt Church, and it's a way to get across many, many different books. You know, if you read a book a day, you wouldn't get through more than 3,000 books if you were to read every day one book till the end of your life. Only 3,000 books. So Blink is a way of shortcutting that and getting through a lot of the ideas more quickly. And what it is, it's basically does like what used to be called cliff notes, like summary, little short summaries of contemporary books. And you can either read them or you can listen to them. So I listened to about 3 books this morning in my gym workout. Yeah, I felt productive and smarter at the same time, as well as fitter. So Blink is the resource for you. And what I'll do is I'll list the books and the link to Blink. Link to Blink, you see how I did that? Alliteration. Or no, rhyming, I say, not alliteration. So a link to Blink on the show notes page at, we're currently shifting things around on the website. So if you go to zoerath.com, there should be a new tab called Freebies. Click on that, see the tab for podcast, and click on that. And this episode is episode 16. So the tail end of it will be 16. So you might have to do a search for 16. I'm sorry I don't have the current link for you at this stage, but that's how you can find it. ZoeRath.com/freebies. Hop onto podcast and type in 16. And there is Bob your uncle, or Bob's your uncle. Where did that expression come from? Anyway, I must post that when I work that one out. So, a couple of announcements. I tell you what, right now it's all about the Edge of Leadership on Conference here in Canberra on the 28th of March. This event, I'm really excited about it. I haven't seen anything else like it. We are really going to do a wonderful job of giving you a transformative experience, or for those of you who can attend. And we're focusing on 3 things. One is cogitation, to expand your leadership thinking. And the second thing is connection, so you can build real and meaningful relationships. And the third thing is contribution, developing a meaningful and purposeful and useful social agenda for you and your business. Those 3 things combined make for a powerful experience. So I'm pretty thrilled about it. And there's some tickets left, but they're going fast. You can find all the info there at edgeofleadership.com.au. The other thing that we're excited about is that my new book, my latest book, Moments, Leadership When It Matters Most, is now available in hard copy for overseas. So people outside of Australia, we consider overseas here, you can go to Amazon.com and you'll find Moments, and you can buy a hard copy book. And I will put that in the show notes as well. Righty-o. So this time of year, even though it's February and, well, let's face it, the year has started, it's still strategic planning time. So a lot of my clients, they're gearing up either for strategy review or thinking ahead. They've got to get their strategies approved and then their budget approved before that magical deadline here of June 30th. And it actually takes a fair bit of effort to do strategy correctly. This is a thing though, right? Strategy seems like a bit of a misnomer. In the past, you could do a strategy that would last 5 years and you'd be done. Now you kind of have like a strategic intention and you've got to keep changing your tactics. The constant is the non-constant. You know, there's constantly shifting sands in the environment. There's things that pop up politically, economically, environmentally that you have to respond to. So how do you develop a strategy along that? So what I find though is that, well, A, if people are still doing five-year strategic plans, that is the most gobsmacking mistake you can make. You got to switch that right away. But the other mistakes I find are common, but less well articulated or come from unexpected places. And it really comes down to a division between what I call non-thinkers and global thinkers. Non-thinkers in business are those who are in survival mode, really. So reactive, just trying to get by. All their strategy, in quotation marks, is about how do I get the next sale to make sure we stay in business. It sucks when you're in survival mode. And typically, there is a scarcity mentality. They're in a constant state of dog-eat-dog, win at all costs. And it's a very selfish focus. And that is the primary thing that can pop up as a mistake in a strategy. A global thinker, however, is quite different. A global thinker has significant advantages in terms of being able to be more responsive and flexible in terms of the tactics that they take. But you got to do some deep work around it. What I find is that the global thinkers, their purpose is really about transformation of self, others, planet. They're really after the biggest benefit for the greatest number of stakeholders. And global thinkers have moved beyond just personal gain through their business to serving the fulfillment of others as well. It's not selfless, which is everything for someone else, forget about me, because that can turn into martyrdom, and then you're back to survival mode. No good. This is about being self-full. And this is putting a plan in your business so that your business does well, as well as serving the needs of others. Global thinkers have a huge depth of their thinking that embraces complexity and therefore allows them to be flexible and responsive to lots of changing things. And you know what? Global thinkers know that if you think big, be big, you make a big difference. And because you're listening to this, I know that's you. And you likely have a strong handle on this. So let's have a look at where these mistakes show up. So the mistake number one is if you have a purpose that you may not realize it, but is really one of survival. So what you need to do is look at the wording and intent of your strategy and projects and tactics. And is there an underlying sense that this is just like, let's just make it through the year and hope for the best? Is that kind of the mentality there? Is there kind of a sense of desperation there? Or is it infused with transformation? So I wanted to share the story about, well, I found it inspiring. I came across OPIC. Didn't know anything about them before until recently. It is the Overseas Private Investment Corporation. It's a U.S. government development finance institution. So this is some good news coming out of the U.S. And basically, it was set up by the U.S. government in, I think, from 2008. And it focuses on harnessing private capital, so the private sector business, to help solve critical development challenges in developing countries around the world. And in doing that, it advances U.S. foreign policy, develops U.S. business, and it's a win also for the developing country. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. That's a transformational purpose. And some of the stats they've got on their 2016 annual report are pretty cool. They said that the projects committed to in 2016 are projected to, so they haven't necessarily reached this yet, but are online to, support more than 10,000 local jobs, generate $117 million in developing country revenue, and lead to $7.45 billion, that's a lot of money, of locally procured goods and services. So those are big dollars. And the thing about OPIC, it's now self-funding. So they've managed to set up enough private sector investment and generate enough business through these initiatives so that they can fund their own operations. So it doesn't cost the American taxpayers anything. And it's generating jobs and wealth in both America and the developing countries. That is a good news story. So far, we'll see if Trump has anything to do with OPIC and what he does. Hopefully, he doesn't play around with it too much. So you may not be a government-funded institution, or you may be. In any case, you can consider your strategy and is your check to see if there's an underlying sense of desperation, let's just get through the year, or if there's something more transformative. So in my business, like I'm a small company, there's me as the principal, I have a business manager and a virtual assistant, and our purpose is to provide transformational programs, and we focus on transforming one leader at a time. And that has a repercussive effect, so a flow-on effect. And that's how we look at changing and shifting consciousness and worldviews around the planet. So, what is it for you? Let's look at mistake number two, and that's having a selfish scope. So, have a look at your own strategy and have a look at the benefits of your strategy. Where are they really aimed? Is it mostly for the business owner, company directors, or shareholders? Or is there a bigger objective to serve multiple stakeholders? Non-thinkers are generally selfish and are looking out for their own needs. They're basically trying to get hand to mouth and make sure they have their own bases covered. And largely, as a global thinker, you need to make sure that you are fed and clothed as well. So that doesn't go away. However, the difference between a non-thinker and a global thinker is that they set their business up so it fulfills their need as well as more. They're looking to make a bigger contribution while getting their needs met. So Adam Grant, so I've been rabbiting on about him lately, and his book, Give and Take, talks about that, that the givers who make the biggest impact are the ones that look after themselves equally as ambitiously, something like that, better grammar-like things. So you got to check your strategy. Does it include a strong social agenda? Will it uplift staff and clients alike as a result? And I really think social agenda is a critical requirement in business today. You really need it for a competitive edge. You're competing against the rise of social enterprises, businesses that have really strong corporate social responsibility. If you don't have this, you're going to be left behind. So there's a business imperative, and there's also an emotional purpose imperative. Like, it just feels good to have something that is meaningful to you. I love this as a local example. Aspen Medical, right? They've been given a number of awards. They're an amazing company. So what Aspen Medical is, it's one of the world's leaders in providing outsourced healthcare solutions. And they've had a huge impact locally and globally. In 2009, as part of their business development, they established the Aspen Foundation, and a portion of their percentage of the profits goes to the foundation. And the purpose of the foundation is to reduce and hopefully eradicate, get rid of diseases like trachoma and rheumatic heart disease in indigenous communities. Their work has all but wiped out scabies in northern communities. That's amazing. So they have this really strong social agenda. It's part of their foundation work, but it's also part of the premise of the work that they do themselves. And they won an award and are recognized for being the only company in the world to be contracted by three separate governments, Australia, the UK, and the USA, to deliver those countries' response to the Ebola crisis. Amazing. And the Aspen Medical team went in there and did a great job of stemming and ending the Ebola crisis in those countries. Good on them, local Canberra mob. So social agenda is pretty important. They're extremely successful as a result. So we can model some of that. Mistake number three is lacking depth. This is probably the more traditional way of looking at strategy, is looking at what is the horizon of which you are looking at. through the lens of strategy. So global thinkers really consider complex challenges. Non-thinkers bounce on the surface of problems. So if you compare the two, so a non-thinker will look at their strategy and say, what problem do I solve for my client? And they'll just go to the surface, the symptoms of the problem. Global thinkers will say, what problems do I solve for my client? So the surface thing, the symptoms. What are the systems that are embedded in support or manifest that problem? And what are the real views or the story that underpins it all? So global thinkers go really, really deep in looking at what is generating this particular problem. So in doing so, they add such huge value in terms of their response and the response to their stakeholders and how they can support them. And so they're more versatile, they're more respected and valued and appreciated by their clients. One of the great examples of this is Charles Sturt University. So I work with the vice chancellor there, Professor Andy Van. And he and his team have been doing a lot of work over the last 12 months on developing a systems map for the university and its context to look at how they can best map their strategy. What are the significant influence points in politics, in the economy, in the environment, in the communities where they operate, and how they can best serve those needs? So they've taken their taken a very, very deep approach to developing their strategy. And if, you know what? This is why most organizations don't do this. It takes time and effort and mental grunt. And yet, the rewards will be there because they've got a long-term strategic intention with short-term projects that they can make meaningful interventions and track the success in broader terms. And they have a very strong purpose agenda as well. They're there to develop and support communities. You know, they're helping change family trees. Great example. I encourage you to look them up. So let's look at the fixes. Three easy fixes. Expand your purpose from survival to contribution to transformation. There you go. That takes a little mental grunt and you'll feel so much better for it. Number two is expand your scope. Create a meaningful social agenda for you and your team to get behind. And that would just feel good. It'll bring so much more meaning to your daily struggles, for sure, when you know that the effort and reward, it benefits so many others. And third one is go deep. Symptoms, system, and story. So do some grunt work in mapping out what are the challenges for you and your stakeholders, and you'll get some amazing results. All right, so that is it for today. And what I'd really love for you to do, if you haven't signed up for my weekly newsletter, my e-zine, I publish articles every week on leadership and strategy. And you can get all that at the freebies. And as a thank you gift, you get my 4-part video course on Grace Under Fire. So those are your key tips to stay calm and centered when everybody else is losing their bundle. You don't have to lose yours. And you can find that at zoerouth.com. Click on freebies, and there you have it. So in the meantime, live well, lead well.